Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast with Essan Koman, Head of MENA Research and Strategy. It's Thursday, 7th May 2020, and we're publishing this podcast on MUFGEMEA.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Stitcher. So Essan, it would appear that global lockdowns have peaked and that several countries across the world have laid out phased reopenings of their economies. Can you explain how this impacts oil markets?
Sure. Well, May certainly looks better than April right now, and the worst is behind us for oil markets. For us, the nadir of COVID-19 demand evisceration was in April at minus 26.1 million barrels per day, according to our estimates. And an uneven recovery is underway as global lockdown measures are being eased, led by China, as well as the broader promising transportation demand growth in several developed markets. So yes, the rebalancing in supply and demand fundamentals is in play, with oil markets now past the peak in oversupply. And so just to build on this, our bottom-up country-by-country modeling estimates point to global oil demand printing at minus 17.2 million barrels per day and minus 12.1 million barrels per day for May and June, respectively. And for Q2 2020, our estimates point to a record large surplus of 9.9 million barrels per day. Now, the premise of our estimates are first built on the experience of the Chinese demand recovery, which approximately assumes a halving of demand hit in each month. And in addition, we assume a lot of idiosyncratic adjustments for each country, factoring in the timing and the magnitude of the specific lockdown measures in order to develop a firm gauge of the pace of the expected demand recovery in each country. So on net, the demand side recovery, albeit uneven and desynchronized, is well and truly underway, and our base case assumes that the lockdowns and other measures will succeed in gradually slowing new infections across the world over the coming few weeks. However, the caveat being here that risks remain firmly skewed to the downside, especially if it takes longer than expected to slow new infections, and we see significant risks of a second wave if policy and social distancing measures are eased prematurely. So we do need to monitor quite carefully how COVID-19 cases tally up with demand for crude oil. Now, switching gears and turning to the supply side, so signs of supply curtailments are bearing fruit, which are offered a lot of front-end support to prices in recent days. And we've had voluntary OPEC Plus production cuts, which have formally started as of 1st of May, which in tandem with declarations of production shut-ins accumulating to approximately 2.5 million barrels per day thus far, although the potential number is likely to be much larger quantum given the lack of disclosure by private producers, has also materially improved overall fundamentals. So now, putting the demand and supply picture together, we would highlight that yes, we are past the peak in oversupply, with COVID-19 induced oil demand collapse slowly reversing, and the supply picture is looking more promising with voluntary OPEC Plus production cuts and forced production shutdowns taking barrels off the market. But we would caution here that we are still very early in the rebalancing cycle, and oil markets still remain oversupplied, with our estimates of 6.9 million barrels per day of surplus oil being produced in the month of May alone.
And so these forced production shut-ins that you have described, Essan, does that mean that we can expect these halted production of fields to come back online once demand fully returns as COVID-19 hopefully ebbs away?
So yes, this is the core sticking point that we've touched upon last month in one of our podcasts on what markets should expect after the second OPEC Plus agreement. And so just to frame the discussion here, to date, production shut-ins are primarily arising within landlocked producers in the US and Canada mainly, where storage capacity constraints has been most acute given the decline in localized refinery intake. And so now, a dent on production shutdowns of this magnitude is unlikely to be reversed swiftly, as shutting in certain fields can often permanently hamper reservoirs and producing wells, especially for some of the more fields that are less capable of adjusting their pump rates than others, specifically in USA and Canada. And we think of it in terms of the capital stock of oil, that is, oil fields and wells being very different from the capital stock in the rest of the economy. So for example, manufacturing capacity turned off during COVID-19 is sitting idle and ready to restart. However, there is a lot of geology behind conventional oil fields in terms of field pressure and other factors that degrades when production is shut in and may not be able to be fully restored. And whilst offshore fields usually do not have this problem, the impacted wells are likely to be the ones that are onshore, given the infrastructure bottlenecks where shut-ins create lasting damage. And so based on this, these sticky shut-ins cannot be undone swiftly, essentially, signaling that the supply recovery may not be V-shaped per se once we witness a normalized global oil demand profile as COVID-19 ebbs out of the equation. Now, as a crucial production growth driver, the level of future US production will affect how tight or indeed how loose global fundamentals are likely to be, especially given these production shut-ins, large-scale capital expenditure curbs, as well as the resulting natural production declines. Indeed, some of the production expected to be shut in, in May alone could well come back with a price rebound, say, in June or early Q3. And crucially, and something that we would highlight, production shut-ins decisions aren't likely to be formulaic in tone and rather idiosyncratic and case-by-case, primarily owing to management decisions for each entity. And so some forced shut-ins will likely not come back online permanently, while some may take months. So it's not an exact science here, and markets can certainly expect some of the production shut-ins to not come back online so easily.
And what does all this signal for oil prices in the near term, Ehsan?
Sure. So some context here. Oil, like other commodities, are essentially spot physical assets. They're not anticipatory financial assets like equities. And so they must clear supply and demand, which remains out of balance at the current juncture. Now, this considerable inventory overhang signals that the price rally will lag in terms of delta, the rally that we've been witnessing in global equity markets of late. And as such, the immediate couple of weeks, we still expect significant volatility with spikes to the downside to front month oil prices, given a sizable oversupply that has yet to be cleared from the market. And it is once oil markets reach the inflection point of an equilibrium of supply equating demand, and thus markets becoming instantaneously balanced, in our view, by late May, early June, that we believe that the oil price rally will start taking a bit more of a firmer hold. And we see upside risks to our end Q2 2020 Brent and WTI forecasts of $32 per barrel and $28 per barrel, respectively. And thereafter, this essentially sets the stage for structurally higher oil prices heading into the second half of the year, with our Brent price forecast of $36 and $46 per barrel in Q3 and Q4, respectively, with firm upside risk to these forecasts, given fundamentals are expected to demonstrate a deficit by roughly around mid-June, in our view, prompting a sharp rebound in oil prices.
Right, okay. Thanks very much, Ehsan. Have a good week, and we'll speak to you next week.
Thanks, Ona. Talk soon.
Thank you for listening to this MUFG Global Markets podcast. Rate, review, and subscribe, and reach out to your MUFG sales rep for any further information. Check back next week for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.